August 4th. Jesus says, to lose one's life, the supreme misfortune for the man living in flesh and blood, is not a loss, but a gain for the man living by faith and spirit. That is why I said, do not fear those who can kill your bodies. I am alongside the innocent killed by any situation of human cruelty. I am alongside the martyrs and alongside soldiers. I am alongside those oppressed under the yoke of a family reaching the point of crime, and alongside those suppressed by means cursed by me in sacrilegious and ferocious wars. I say sacrilegious. And what else should I say? Isn't it a violation of my law to act with overbearance, using, and abusing force for reasons of human pride whose fruit is the destruction of lives and consciences? And what temple is greater than the heart of man created by me, where I should dwell? But can the God of peace dwell, where there are thoughts of war? Dwell where, under the cover of war, man allows himself blameworthy forms of license? Dwell where, under the blast of war, faith dies and non-faith takes its place, charity dies and ferocity takes its place, prayer dies and blasphemy takes its place? Aren't these acts of desecration of a heart? And doesn't whoever desecrates commit sacrilege? I thus said, do not fear those who kill the body, and can do nothing more. I comfort those unjustly slain in the hour of trial, and this is a guarantee, that after that hour the beatifying light comes. But I say, fear him who, after having slain you, can throw you into Gehenna. Slay in what way? Slay what? Your souls and your spirits. The soul that is the coffer, the holy ark, and the ciborium containing the spirit, which is the gem taken by the hand of God, from the boundless treasures of his self, to place it within the creature. A sign that cannot be denied, of your origin as my sons and daughters. Like the blood in the veins, the spirit remains in your interior of flesh. And as blood gives life to the flesh, in order to live out earthly days, so the spirit gives life to the soul, to live out the unending days. So the loss, of limitless measure, is that of the spirit, and not of a little flesh. Nor is there a greater crime or one more condemned by God than this one of killing a spirit, by depriving it of the grace that makes it a child of God. As sons and daughters in the mother's womb grow and take shape, reaching the perfect age of intrauterine life, drawing nourishment from organs keeping them in contact with the mother's organs of nourishment, so anyone able to live the life of the spirit, and preserve the spirit is like a child in my womb, and grows and reaches the perfect age of life within me, drawing from me nourishment and strength. Isn't it a joy and security for you to consider, that you live by me, in me, for me, and with me? Those who let the enemy kill their spirit become his accomplices. Those who with their own hands hold the sack open in which the accursed one encloses your souls, depriving them of light, first, and then of life, plunging them into his hellish abyss, from which no one emerges, and upon which the eternal curse of God weighs. And can I, who say do not kill and condemn the killing of the flesh, fail to pronounce a condemnation over whoever kills the spirit? Over whoever does. Without a doubt. For you have a will, and if you are unwilling, the enemy cannot. It is thus you that kill your spirits. And over whoever kills the spirit, in truth I tell you that with just and terrible wrath my voice will thunder as a father denied by a son, as a king cheated by a subject, to pronounce the word of condemnation. In your suffering remain sure then. Through the flesh that dies, your spirit grows more and more. It draws nourishment from the dying, as a victim of love, of your body. How beautiful the day will be when, breaking the clay of the earthly vase, your spirit will bloom free and strong for the eternal joy of your Jesus, in heaven.